Penguin Random House Audio presents Following Jesus, Finding Our Way Home in an Age of Anxiety by Henry J. M. Nouwen. Read for you by Fred Sanders. Foreword. Henry Nouwen, my friend and teacher. I first heard of Henry Nouwen while still in seminary in Ohio in the late 1960s. My mother wrote me from Kansas that there was a new Dutch priest serving at our parish, and she loved to attend his masses. His accent makes him hard to understand, but he says the Mass with such reverence and devotion, she told me. Of course, at the time, I had no idea who she was talking about. He was then a doctoral student of psychology at the Menninger Institute near our family home in Topeka, but it was not long before he entered my life. Starting in the mid-1970s, we were often speakers at the same conferences. Soon he visited me several times at the New Jerusalem community in Cincinnati, where he told me how he longed for community and intimate relationships. I could tell it was a passionate need. We would go for walks from time to time in the working-class neighborhood where the community had settled. He would invariably entertain me. I do not know what other word to use. With his endless spiritual curiosity, his extreme vulnerability, and his humble concern for people. Henry longed for in-depth relationship, and I think relationship was, in fact, his real genius. He could spot the authentic from the inauthentic, and longed to be a healer of the inauthentic, which is exactly how he served us all so well. When I moved to New Mexico in 1986 to found the Center for Action and Contemplation, Henry wrote me a very supportive letter encouraging me to teach nothing but contemplation. And he even recommended to my study the writings of Egnat Ishwaran. This showed me the depth of his Christian faith that was not threatened by a Hindu-based teacher from India. It also showed me that as Catholic as he was, he recognized authentic contemplative teaching wherever it came from. Because I looked up to him as a wise and holy elder, I would often try to get some free spiritual direction out of him. Only a few minutes into it, I'd realize that he never really answered my questions, but had somehow turned it around to make me into his spiritual director. I was never sure if it was humility on his part or some kind of unconscious need for reciprocity. But I finally concluded that it was a totally sincere spiritual search, and he valued my insights as much as his own. As much as I knew that he was a spiritual writer, in real life, he was a spiritual seeker and believer, always filled with desire for more wisdom and for more capacity to love. When he heard that I was beginning to teach a spirituality for men, he wrote me and strongly encouraged me in this regard. He also told a number of artists that they needed to paint images that could be healing for the so often broken father-son relationship. He knew that it often took visual images to begin the healing process. At least one iconographer, the Franciscan Robert Lentz, took his advice and painted John the Beloved with his head on the breast of Jesus. Henry loved it, and was very honest with me and others about his complex relationship with his own father. All in all, and from my simple perspective, these were Henry Nouwen's primary gifts: human vulnerability and the healing power that he gained from such rugged honesty. For most of us, he created the very phrase, the wounded healer, and fully exemplified it in his life. He loved being well-known and yet fully saw the irony. I remember when he said to me with sincere hurt, "My own family in the Netherlands does not read my books or even know about them." But then he would also laugh at himself for saying such a thing. Maybe we could say that Henry invited the human shadow into the entire conversation of spirituality, similar to Francis of Assisi and Thérèse of Lisieux, but with more psychological savvy. This led him to so much practical insight into the nature of love and all relationship, especially God's love. We Christians had grown used to calling the shadow self sin and perhaps quickly confessing it as such, but then were incapable of learning from it. Henry surely confessed his sins and failures to those close to him, but only after he had first felt their sting, their texture, their truth, and their always available wisdom. These honest acknowledgments seemed to lead him to compassion for others. With all of this, and because of all of this, Henry emerged as a superb Christian teacher who will surely stand the test of time. And you are now about to enjoy some of his hard-won wisdom in this book. He will soon be your friend, if he is not already. Father Richard Rohr, OFM, Center for Action and Contemplation, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Introduction. Are you following Jesus? I want you to look at yourself and ask that question. Are you a follower? Am I? Often we are more wanderers than followers. I am speaking of myself as much as of you. We are people who run around a lot, do many things, meet many people, attend many events, read many books. We are very involved. We experience life as many, many things. We go here, we go there, we do this, we do that, we speak to him, we speak to her, we have this to do and that to do. Sometimes we wonder how we can do it all. If we sit down and think about it, we are often running from one emergency to another. We are so busy and so involved. Yet if we are asked what we are so busy with, we don't really know. People who wander from one thing to the other, feeling that they are lived more than they live, are very tired, deeply tired. It is a problem for many people. It is not so much that we do many things, but rather that we do many things while wondering whether anything is happening. Sometimes it seems as though we have all these balls up in the air and wonder how we can keep them all going. It is very tiring, exhausting, actually. Some people finally stop and give it all up. They say, "It was 5 years and nothing happened anyway." They sit there and do nothing. Nothing excites them anymore. They have no real interest in life. They just watch television, read comic books, and sleep all the time. There is no rhythm, no movement, no tension. Sometimes there is escape through alcohol, drugs, or sex, but nothing fascinates them. Nothing energizes them. What do you want to do? I don't care. Want to go to a movie? I don't care. They have moved from wandering to just sitting there. These people are also very tired. There is a real fatigue there. Both types of people, the running around ones and the just sitting there ones, are not moving anywhere. There is something of the wanderer and something of the person who just sits there in all of us. If you look at this world, you might think, "I am so tired. There is so much fatigue, so much experience of heaviness in this world, that I find myself sometimes as a wanderer and sometimes as a sitter." It is into this deeply tired world of ours that God sends Jesus to speak the voice of love. Jesus says, "Follow me. Don't keep running around. Follow me. Don't just sit there. Follow me." The voice of love is the voice that can completely reshape our life from a wandering or just sitting there life to one that is focused and has a point to go to. Follow me. Some of us may have heard this voice already, others not. Once we hear the voice calling us to follow, things often fall into place. Instead of moving in many different directions, suddenly we have focus. We know where we are going. We have only one concern. Suddenly that deep boredom we experienced vanishes because we have heard the voice of love. If we don't have a focus, if we don't have anyone to follow, we are empty people. We are. Yet, when we discover that there is a voice of love calling us and saying, "Follow me," everything becomes different.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?